You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Yes, that can mean only one thing. Time for the Friday forecast, brought to you by the Gentleman Cigar Club of Cleveland, Cleveland's most prestigious young networking professional cigar club in town. They feature great events at Cigar, like the one last night featuring yours truly. You can follow them on Twitter at the GCC in CLE. Again, the Friday forecast brought to you by the Gentleman Cigar Club of Cleveland. Let's bring in now our great producer, Mr. Jason Gibbs. Gibbs, it's time for the Friday forecast.
It is time for the Friday forecast. Too bad I'm not ready, because I thought we were doing something else.
All right. You want to talk Tiger Woods, y'all?
I thought you guys were talking Tiger Woods first.
All right, we'll do that before. So, Gibbs, just hang out with us, and then we'll do the forecast.
Sounds good.
Tiger Woods, not playing anymore, says his play is not up to his level or his standards, etc.
Let me just say this about Tiger. I was not into golf as a youth like you were, and I think a lot of people weren't into golf. I got into golf through Tiger Woods. When he was winning the U.S. amateurs at a record clip, when he was pumping his fist at Stanford, and when he turned pro. I think a lot of people like me got into golf because of Tiger Woods, and the PGA Tour needs Tiger Woods. So I have a solution. There's rumors, and some of my sources tell me that Tiger used to be on some performance-enhancing drugs. They should legalize HGH on the PGA Tour. There's no league in the world that needs one player except for the PGA Tour.
I don't know if it does need him anymore.
It does. Look at the numbers. Does. Take a look at the ratings. There's just nobody that has the juice of Tiger Woods.
And again, I, a lot like you, kid, became a fan of golf and actually watched it on television to tune in to see Tiger Woods. And, of course, Tiger brings significant television ratings, and they significantly drop when he does not play. But I will say this, moving forward, I still tune in, especially right now. It all depends what course. Of course, I'm watching the Pro-Am at Pebble. I watch the TPC Scottsdale at the Waste Management Open out in Arizona. So if it's the right course with the plethora of talent that there is now on the PGA Tour, I'll still tune in because I like the I'm a Bubba fan. I am a Jordan Spieth fan.
I love Bubba. Me too.
Justin Rose is of the world. So I watch those guys. I'm a huge fan of the American golfers because I think we're very talented and we've got some youth that's playing extremely well. But when there's nothing better than Tiger Woods healthy playing good golf, there's nothing better.
I'd agree with that. What do you think about his comment, basically, that his level of play is not up to tournament golf standards? Do you think he's just embarrassed right now with how
he's
playing?
He should be embarrassed. I mean, I can't believe that he'd go out there and play the way he's playing. If he had to have an indication of where his game was at, he should not have gone out there. And I think he's in his head. Enough of these swing changes. Go out there, John Daly it, have a few cocktails, and let it rip and see what happens.
A few cocktails, let it rip it to it. It is amazing. I think golf, though, is just such a mental game, and when you lose the ability, and I think he's lost his nerve. That's what I think.
What I also, too, I think more so than anything is...
Hold on, the kid just got called out on Twitter. The kid, you complain on air, this is great, at SamEC37 says, you complain about sources, but you just used a source, an anonymous source about Tiger Woods.
Well, I think that I used it with my tongue sticking out of my cheek. I appreciate that you calling me out on Twitter, but I don't really have sources, my friend.
It's your own thoughts?
Actually, it is a source. It's a man called Grizz.
The Grizz.
If you want to know who the source is,
The Grizz.
But
the Grizz.
Tiger Woods has lost his edge. There's no longer a competitive advantage to playing in a group with Tiger Woods or Tiger Woods being in a tournament. And what's really struck me is because a lot of the reason why I have Nike golf clubs and a Nike golf bag and Nike golf shoes and Nike.
I have a closet.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, you're right. But I could go in a different direction. But a lot of it has to do with Tiger Woods. And to me, what's embarrassing that we have lost over the years is that Nike, scripts out his wardrobes in advance. And when Tiger is not in the picture to compete, on Sundays, Nike still has him wearing red, and it's embarrassing because there's nothing intimidating about being 10 strokes back, on Sunday simply because you used to wear red on Sundays. Wear a different color and just go win $150,000, not $1.5 million.
I think it's twofold, too. I think that when you are unbeatable, it's not only your confidence, but it it's what you represent to everybody else. I think people kind of built him up like, oh, I'm behind. I can't beat Tiger. I'm ahead of Tiger. They're going to get it for, you know, they're going to go ahead and take it. You know, people were as intimidated by Tiger as Tiger was intimidating to them. He was that good, and they were as fearful of him. Once they realize that he's a man like anybody else, I don't think other golfers are in their own heads about having to beat Tiger Woods anymore.
They're not in their own heads, but if, and it is a big if Tiger gets his game back, there's still very few guys that can not be in his head, and maybe they'll be closer to him and he won't win by 17, but I'll still take my chances of an in-form Tiger Woods versus anybody save Rory McIlroy.
I just think there are so many good golfers. I think there are so many good golfers now
there
that
are.
Can – I think it was a different era. I think he was by far the best, and I don't think he is anymore.
And well, I think technology too, guys, you know, with the clubs and the way they're manufactured and that – it's really regulated the amount of talent where you can have, you know, a Rory who's 5'8", 165 pounds, or a Tiger, 6 foot, 210, hitting the ball the same distance, you know, because of they're technically sound, they have their swings, you know,
it's all about creating
intact
leverage.
But more so than anything, it's like the clubs have brought the games, you know, made everybody long. Tiger's not longer than anybody else anymore.
Well, that's part of the issue that some people will talk about, it that he's trying to hit it out there with the young guys, and he should be just trying to hit it straight.
Because
there's guys that are longer than him. I mean, these guys, like Rory.
Rory's way longer than him.
And Rory
he's 50 yards longer than him.
And Rory's a freak of nature. I mean, he's longer than every. I mean, he hits it out there with guys that are a foot taller than him and 100 pounds heavier than him. It's crazy how long Rory hits the ball. And he is, I think that you're going to see Rory this year, and I am a Tiger apologist, but I think Rory is going to take a step forward this year to put himself in
Grand
the
Slam.
Put himself in the conversation with Tiger Woods. I'm not going to go as far as say Grand Slam, but I do think that he's going to win two majors this year, and then people like me are going to be real sad because people are going to be saying Rory is the next Jack Nicklaus, not Tiger.
Do you think that in some cases what Tiger needs to realize is the ultra-competitive, intimidating Tiger is gone? He's got to eat a little bit of humble pie and step back and be a little bit more, you know, strategic in his approach to the golf course, which he's always been that way, which is what's made him great. But he was long all the same time, and he was more creative too, because his body was capable of hitting shots that guys hit out of the fairway. He could do out of the pine straw at Augusta.
I think he needs more confidence because the one year he won the British Open without hitting a driver. Because he had confidence that he could hit a 3-iron 240 yards. He had confidence that he had every shot in the bag. Now I feel like he tries to overpower it because he doesn't have the confidence that he has all the shots.
Man, short really, game, that's his nerve.
It's a mess. It really is.
And that's
a
what
mess.
Hank Haney came out and said. Well, Hank Haney came out and said that he doesn't care about winning the majors or breaking Jack Nicklaus's record. And then Butch Harmon, his other coach, said he's swinging the club way too hard.
Yeah, and Hank Haney, I think, is a clown.
Yeah.
Butch Harmon. I think that's where Tiger needs to go. Talk about humble pie. He needs to take his hat off, knock on Butch's door, and say, Butch, fix me. Hank Haney is a clown that Tiger made. He's never coached anybody else that's been any good. Go back to the
And Harmon. Harmon made Fowler great last year.
Yeah, Harmon is probably the best teacher in the history of golf. And he's got the – Harmon is a great guy, a great golf coach. Hank Haney, goodbye. Go away. You had your 15 minutes.
You've had your 15 minutes. Josh Scobie piling on. Tiger Woods, Jacksonville Jaguars kicker, saying, meet me at San Jose Country Club. $100,000 a hole. You get two a side. Now, Josh
Challenge!
Scobie, he is a +3. He said he meant it as a joke. Obviously, people got super mad at him. But the best was, what if you just said, Tiger said, okay, and won all 18. You got $1.8 million to lose. And Scobie, and he says, I does.
That's great. And that's right. And you know what also, too, is so embarrassing is just seeing Tiger, you know, fly the green from off the green on one side at Torrey Pines and having like the young kids standing greenside snicker at how horrible that shot is, knowing that they could do better.
It's tough.
It's tough to watch. You know, it's akin to Joe Willie Namath playing out the string, akin to Michael Jordan in Washington. I just hope it turns around. Golf, you can maybe turn it around at a later age. It really is. It's a sad day. And I know most people don't like Tiger, but I've always been a
fan. I do, too.
And I hope he does turn it around.
I hope he does as well. Let's bring in Jason Gibbs now. Gibbs, your take on Tiger and then the Friday forecast.
Yeah, I think he's overthought it to the point where he's tweaked so much that it's actually hurt his game.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that mentally. It's sad, but I would rather watch Scobie v. Woods than just a regular tournament without Tiger Woods. Like, I don't – I like the golfers. I watch all the majors. I watch every minute, all 4 days in the majors. If I'm not there, I DVR'd if I'm not able to watch it live. I never miss those. But a tournament without Tiger Woods doesn't do one thing for me, and that's what's killing golf right now, despite the fact they've got all these great young golfers.
And I don't think you're alone with that. I think that – you know, the stats would back you up, you know.
Yeah, I'd rather go play golf than watch golf.
I love golf. I love watching golf. And I know that leading up to Thursday, if Tiger is in a tournament or not, that if I'm busy on this show, and I've done it before when Tiger, I believe, was playing at the Waste Management Open, that I had my phone in between breaks. I would go to the video and see where Tiger's at and watch any video of him on the course. And I would not do that if Tiger Woods was not in the field.
Maybe he needs to play the field again, speaking of the field, and get rid of his girlfriend, because – he did seem to play better when he was playing the field.
When he was philandering?
Yes.
Going to Perkins.
A little bit of strange.
All right, let's get the Friday forecast going here, Gibbs.
Number one.
Question number one today, guys, on this Friday. Ataba Rubin, Brian Hoyer, Buster Screen, Jordan Cameron, Jabal Sheard. If you could only pick one, which player would you expect to be back with the Browns in 2015?
I'm going to say Buster Screen. I think if Gilbert had stepped out and played a little bit better, they maybe would have released and let Buster test the market. But I think based on where they're at right now, they'll keep Buster Screen. I think Jordan Cameron's going to be elsewhere. Jabal Sheard maybe will be here, but I don't think so. My feelings on Hoyer are well known. Ataba Rubin, I think, he don't let the door hit you on the way out. He's long gone.
Yeah, I'm going to go Buster Screen as well for all those same reasons. Ataba Rubin, significant number and really nothing to show for. Brian Hoyer, I just believe, and my stance on that as well, is that he's a Band-Aid for this problem here. Jordan Cameron, his production has significantly dropped. 3 concussions, of course, which makes him very dangerous to miss more time if you want to pay him. And I've been very adamant about the fact that Jabal Sheard is a great 4-3 defensive end. So with this Mike Pettine defense, he's He played like a Brown for us, but it's time for him to move on.
I think it's interesting. I don't know if any of them will be back. If I was going to pick one, I'd probably pick Buster Screen as well. Rubin, no. Hoyer could be back, obviously. We know where we are on that. Do you pay Buster Screen if you get what you wanted out of Justin Gilbert, you're paying him to be your slot corner, when you already had Kaywan Williams as an undrafted free agent for free, who's playing slot corner very well and can do that for the next 3 years at that price?
So you say the 3 corners from this past year's draft,
right,
all end up continuing and growing?
Well, you would have Hayden on one side, you'd have Gilbert or Dazier on the other side on the outside, and I think Dazier absolutely could become a starter, and you've got Kaywan. So do you pay a guy like Buster Screen to ultimately become your slot corner? Because you're probably going to pay him to be a number 2 corner. That's what he's going to get. And you pay him to be a slot corner. That, I think, is going to be an interesting decision, dilemma that plays out. I don't know if Jordan Cameron wants to stay in this weather. You know, I don't know. You could franchise him for a year. And then Jabal, I think, played like a Brown. But I think Jabal for himself might be a better fit in a 4-3, as you've said. But I don't know if that's going to – I don't know what's going to happen there. I'd say Buster probably has the likeliest chance. But I think if you get the development you want, will he ultimately be severely overpaid? I don't know. Might be worth it.
Number 2.
Number 2 today, guys. Major League Baseball, NHL, NBA, or Pro Bowl? What is the best professional all-star game?
I think they all stink, but I'll go with the NBA as the answer, because backyard basketball can still be fun to watch. And in the fourth quarter, they do turn up the defense a little bit, so I'll go with the NBA All-Star game.
I'm going to go NBA as well, and a lot of the reason why is because you're actually seeing the All-Stars that are picked to play in the game playing in the game, unlike the second choice in my eyes, of course, in my bias to football.
I'm going to go NBA. I don't think there's any question. It is a showcase.
It's a great weekend.
It's a fun weekend.
Skills,
it's a fun
contest.
Showcase. And, yeah, they can still play basketball. They don't play hard defense, but it's not like the Pro Bowl where you really can't play football. So I think that the NBA one's the best. The baseball one bores me.
See, I'm a fan of the baseball one because there's something riding on it.
I thought we were talking about major sports. I don't consider baseball to be a major sport anymore.
You hater.
It's America's pastime, the kid.
Pastime, key word.
Wow.
Gibbs.
Ouch.
But do you think that that's also garbage that something rides on the All-Star game?
No, I think something should. Maybe that gets guys playing a little bit harder.
Money.
Yeah, the guy that's playing for the Minnesota Twins 25 games out of first place is going to play hard. so the Kansas City Royals can have home field in the World Series.
That's what they do.
It's a dumb invention by an old guy who should have been out of the sport 30 years ago.
He hates baseball as much as I hate Tony Romo.
Number three.
At least Nats can support Tony
Romo. Oh, God. All right, analytics boy, pipe down. Question number three today. Carmelo Anthony says he's shutting it down for the season and having surgery on his knee, but not until after he plays in Sunday's NBA All-Star game. Good look or bad look for him?
He's a clown. He's a flat-out clown. I mean, as Charles Barkley would say, that's terrible. Are you kidding me? If I owned the New York Knicks, well, we know who owns the New York Knicks, so he doesn't have any logical thoughts behind his actions either. But if I was the boss...
He writes a good letter, though.
If I was the boss of that team, I would be livid. The guy's not going to play in regular games. He's going to play in the All-Star game. That tells you all you need to know about Carmelo Anthony.
I agree. It's a horrible look. And I'm sure in most cases it's just because Carmelo signed the big deal. He feels like he owes it to the people of the Madison Square Garden because the All-Star game is right there in his backyard.
It's a horrific look. I don't think the NBA should allow it. If he was smart, he would have played and then shut it down after. Announcing that you're going to do it and then shut it down is ridiculous. I don't think that – it's a horrible look. I mean, think about how hard it must be to send him those checks when you know he's going to be able – he's deemed himself fit to play in an All-Star game, but not after. Well, now, he says it's the Knicks who are shutting him down, by the way.
Sure it is.
Not that he is, but he's saying the Knicks are going to be shutting him down because he's got to start thinking about the future. This season is this season. He wants to sit down and figure out what to do. I just think it's a bad look if he plays in the All-Star game. Now, if he comes out and just, like, comes out, waves, and plays a minute or two ceremonially, that makes me – that'll sit better with
he's
me.
He's still a clown.
Number four.
I agree with the kid. You that's a guy like Jay Cutler who should have never gotten a max deal. Not worth it, and you can't win anything with him. Final question, guys. We got about a minute and a half here, so real quick. Cavs are 33-22 at the All-Star break. 27 games left. What will their final record be at the end of the regular season?
I think they're going to finish the season at 54-28.
I've got them 55-27, which is a 22-5 finish.
And I was going to go, 55-28? All right, I'll go 53. And what would it be, 53-29?
Yeah.
There you go. We're right in that mix. You guys don't think like 50-32 is reason that they're going to go way better than 17-10.
Yeah, for sure.
They're going to win at least 20 games.
Yeah.
At least 20 games. Yeah. All right, we got to thank everybody for being a part of the show. Thanks for all the great calls today. Thanks for the great tweets as well. Got to thank Mike Judge and the Gentleman Cigar Club of Cleveland. We've got to thank Kevin Jones for Mardi Gras. We've got to thank Oprah Winfrey for her picture here, as you guys saw on Twitter today. Matt Wilhelm holding it right now. Got to thank our great producer, Jason Gibbs. Everybody have a great weekend. Happy holiday. It's a long weekend. Hope you all get to enjoy it. For the kid. And Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
See ya.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.